saints and to all the sinners and everyone in between, we have come into this place to lift our voices to the Heavenly King. Let us worship God together. Is good and all the time. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ this morning. If you're a visitor with us, we welcome you especially and encourage you, if you'd like to know more about our church, to fill out a visitor card, and you can place that in the offering plate today. Also, we want to remind all of our members, guests, and visitors that there are prayer cards on the back of the pew in front of you as well. That if you have any prayer needs whatsoever, feel free to write those out on that prayer card, and you can either place that in the offering plate, or if you'd like it to be more anonymous, you can place it in the prayer box out here in the lobby, and we encourage you to do that so that we know how to lift you up to the Lord. As we gather and worship today, we want to encourage you to look at the salmon-colored sheets either before the service or after the service every Sunday, to see what are the opportunities coming up. There is so much going on in the life of this church, and we don't want you to miss any of those exciting opportunities. So please take some time to look at those as well. Today, as we worship through the scripture, through the songs, through the prayers, we are considering this story and this message that Jesus gave as he called his disciples. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
Our opening scripture comes from Psalm 62, verses 5 through 12. Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath, the highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods, though your riches increase. Do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God of unfailing love, with confidence we gather to worship you, to praise your holy name, to express to you our trust and our confidence in your promise of security and refuge. We pray that we will respond with love and thankfulness in our worship today. You are our God, our rock, and our Redeemer, so we look to you in confidence and trust. Fill us with your Spirit so that we may celebrate your glory and worship you in spirit and in truth through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Please stand for our hymn of praise, 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. Worship your holy name.
Please sing with us.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Your rich in love and your slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord. Holy name, sing like never. soul, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Yes, I worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name.
As we come to our time for ministry highlight, I would remind all of our children who are with us today that there is a children's church opportunity and that you're invited to go after the offertory to participate in that, children kindergarten through fifth grade. Our highlight today, as you see, is the Royal Ambassador Super Bowl canned food drive, which is an annual fixture in our RA ministry. And you'll see that there is information about that in this month's newsletter. And you'll hear about it again next Sunday. But we want you to begin thinking and praying about how to be involved with that. It begins on Sunday, February the 1st, and will end on February the 15th. There'll be boxes for the soup, both here outside of the sanctuary and also outside of the door for the RA room. And we're inviting you to bring all kinds of soup. These will be shared with allied churches for their homeless shelter. There's an enormous need, especially as we linger in these cold months, for people to have something that's easy to cook, easy to prepare, but also nutritious as well. So please bring those canned goods in, those soups, this Sunday all the way through the 15th, and be a part of this wonderful ministry. And would you join me even now in praying for this exciting thing that our kids are a part of? Pray with me. Lord, we lift up now especially this exciting opportunity for our young boys to lead us as a church in ministry and to show us how it's done, to be a part of collecting for the hungry. You once said that you were hungry and we gave you something to eat. We thank you for this opportunity to feed you by feeding your people, the least of these, those who are hungry and needed something. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us as a church a spirit of generosity in this ministry and bless those who receive it, that even as they eat, they would receive the blessing of your presence in their lives to warm both body and soul. In Christ's name, amen. And invite Laura to come and share also about another exciting ministry opportunity that's coming up very soon. Laura, go ahead.
The ladies in our church have been invited to an IF gathering. Local churches and women's ministries in our area will be coming together for a Friday evening and Saturday gathering in February. I think it's February 6th and 7th. This is a two-day live simulcast event for women around the world and here in Alamance County. The purpose is to gather, equip, and unleash this generation of women to live out their purpose. There will be many speakers and bloggers that you probably will recognize: Jeannie Allen, Ann Voskamp, Amina Brown, Christine Kane, Jen Hatmaker, just to name a few. And the event will also include worship and fellowship. This will be a special time to unite women in our community and say, if God is real, then we want more than anything to live like it. We already have a group of about 6 or 8 people that are going from this church. And if you are interested in going, there is more information in the hallway. And the cover of it looks like this. If you would like to go, please see me. And we can sign up probably by Wednesday of this week. That's the deadline. So please join us if you're interested, ladies. Now let's stand for our offertory hymn, Holy, 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 number 2 in your hymnal.
Heavenly Father, for this beautiful day, we give you honor, glory, and praise. May our offerings today be used to glorify your name. Bless the gift and the giver. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Fingers.
It's crowded in worship today as she slips in, trying to fade into the faces, the girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know.
But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing? Then there is a way. There is a way.
Traveler is far away from home. He sheds his coat and quietly sinks into the back row. The weight of their judgmental glances tells him that his chances are better out on the road.
But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing? Then there is a way. And Jesus paid much too high a price for us to pick and choose who should come. And we are the body of Christ. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing? Then there is a way. And if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing? Then there is a way. Jesus is the way.
Thank you.
join me in the pastoral prayer and confession? Lord, this has been a difficult week in the lives of your people here at First Baptist. We have witnessed death and loss. We have witnessed near death, sickness, and disease. And many are in the hospital or at home, even in this moment. We pray, O Lord, for your will and your work to be done in their lives, that you would bring comfort to the families who are grieving, peace and rest and eternal celebration to those we've lost. We thank you for their lives and pray for strength to face tomorrow. We pray for healing in the bodies of those who are in the hospital today, those who are sick and struggling, those who are homebound, and those who are in assisted living facilities. Lord, may your presence be just as real and present where they are as it is here with us now. Would you, in the great mystery of your love, give them the opportunity to worship you in spirit and truth as well? May your presence surround them and lift them up. We pray for this world that we live in, Lord. We look at the news, we read the news, we listen to the news, and it's all bad news, it seems. We are stressing out, God. What is happening? And so much seems to be going so wrong. We pray, oh God, that you would fix it. That's our simple prayer. To do what you alone can do. For you are God. The God who strips the forest bare. The God who can shake the waters and the trees. The God who is above all, the God to whom we cry glory. And Lord, we pray for those who have yet to find you, who have yet to see your presence in their lives, who have yet to surrender themselves to you and follow after your Son, Christ, Jesus. But we also confess, God, that some of the greatest sins of our lives are not the things we said, but the things we never said. To a lost world, we are mute. Forgive us, Lord, when we fail to tell people the good news, when we fail to share the glory of your name, when we fail to name your healing presence and to show the people the way to the Master's house. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you and your mercy. You are our deliverer, as the scripture said. You're the one we count on, our help from above. And so it is in your grace that we trust that we are forgiven, that we are saved people, and that your love endures forever. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our second scripture from Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church speaks of the urgency to tell the gospel story. The immediacy of the need is so prevalent that life and all that we hold dear perhaps is nothing compared to the call to share the gospel. 1 Corinthians 7, beginning in verse 29. I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. Thank God for God's word. Amen.
Said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men.
Those poor preacher kids.
I'm not sure if that's what Jesus meant when he said, come and follow me. But really, what did he mean? Let's wrestle with that as we hear from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother, Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is a familiar word, isn't it? It's a very familiar passage. It's a Hallmark Baptist passage for evangelism. And we hear this message of Jesus preached. We hear it taught about. We hear it in seminars and classes and Sunday school groups and Bible study groups and discussion groups. So I will not insult you by preaching just another sermon on the importance of telling people about Jesus or the importance of being fishers of people. Because the reality is, we don't have any trouble knowing exactly what Jesus means here, do we? Jesus begins his ministry with this call to make disciples, to this call to be a people who go out into the world to meet people wherever they are, to catch them at their job, catch them with their family, catch them in the neighborhood, catch them living their lives, and draw them in. Draw them into the presence of God. The fancy church word for that is evangelism, but essentially it's about drawing in people into God's very presence. Jesus begins his ministry with this. He ends his ministry with this when he says, go and make disciples. And everywhere in between those two very clear, undeniable, inescapable callings, he is calling us to be fisher people. He's calling us to make disciples. He uses that imagery. Consider again the miraculous catch where Jesus says, cast on this side of the boat. And they do, and they cannot even haul in the great catch. Think about how he again does something like this after the resurrection. And they can hardly haul in the great catch. He calls fishermen, no less. Their very existence as disciples is symbol of our calling to be fishermen and fisherwomen for the kingdom of God. But the problem is not that the church of our time doesn't know this calling. And yet we see less and less disciples are made every year. Fewer and fewer people are professing Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Fewer and fewer baptisms are occurring. And less children follow in the footsteps of mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and become disciples of Jesus. So if the problem is not that we somehow are unaware of the calling, or that somehow we missed this invitation, the problem is that we just don't care. We know we are to tell the good news. We just don't do it. We just refuse. Now, we'll stop there. That's the prophetic side of this message. See, as the pastor, as prophet, I want to give you this hard-hitting, gut-wrenching, guilt-inducing message. Well, that was it. Feel bad right now. When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus? about what he's doing in your life. If it's been a long time, you haven't been a disciple in a long time. Now that's the prophetic, challenging word. But you know, I'm a pastor too, which means I love you. And the pastoral message seeks to say, why? There must be some human reason, some real difficulty. Why do we have such a hard time telling the gospel story? I think the number one word that I hear when I talk to people or lead workshops on witnessing or telling your story, the number one reason I hear for why we don't do this is fear. But we're afraid of a lot of different things. We're afraid, I think, number one, of being connected with all of those really terrible, rotten, no good models that are out there. When you hear that word, even just the word evangelism, some of you maybe go like this. Because you no doubt have had some bad experience around that word evangelism. You've had someone do it the wrong way. Someone do it in a way that had the opposite effect in your life, that made you less likely to follow Jesus. Think about some of those bad models that are out there. My favorite one is the Chick Tracks. Anybody remember those? They're still out there. When I was a teenager, I first encountered a Chick Track from a very zealous and enthusiastic young Christian, a fellow classmate, who sat me down and wanted to share with me this little tiny pamphlet that tells the gospel story. And he turned it page by page. And if you've never seen one of these, this is still one of the most common and popular means of evangelism. It tells a story of a young man's life who was invited to go to church, but he had another friend who invited him to come with him to a party. And there's always the same sins in every Chick Track: drinking, smoking, lying, drugs, pornography. And he gets wrapped up in all of that. And then suddenly there's a car crash. And these two young men are in hell, not heaven. And he said, wait, I don't want to be here. I want to be in heaven. And the other kid says, too late. I fooled you. And he rips off his face and it's the devil. You can see there is some horrible theology in these Chick Tracks. And every one of them is the same. The person ends up before the throne of God, and they're judged and sentenced to hell. If I didn't have a Bible and all I had was a Chick Track, I would think that nobody ever in the history of the world ever went to heaven. If you have a Chick Track, I'm just going to say this as sweetly as I can, please throw it away. Please don't use that. Because not only is it wrong in its theology so often, it has the wrong effect. It's not genuine, is it? It's not authentic. It's not you. It's not real. It's just this little book that you're going through page by page with someone. It's impersonal. And if there's one thing about Jesus Christ and God Almighty, it's that he's personal. It's always personal with God. So we don't want to be connected with that model. And many times people are afraid that that's where people will link them to, those sort of disingenuous, inauthentic models of evangelism. Kind of like the door-to-door. Now here, I know I'm going to get into trouble with some of you. Door-to-door evangelism. Picture yourself in your PJs on a Saturday morning, enjoying a cup of coffee or a hot cup of tea or whatever it is you have on Saturday mornings. You got your feet propped up in your easy chair. Your kids are playing quietly in another room. It's heaven. And you're watching your favorite show or the game's on. Or you're watching a movie cuddled up with your sweetheart. And there's... Yes, sir, I'm here to talk to you about a brand new vacuum cleaner that we have available. Could I just take a few minutes of your time? How likely are you to say, sure, Or are you more likely to be aggravated, to be fed up, to say, I'm not interested? And maybe you even put a sign on your door the next time that says, no soliciting. Raise your hand if you like having surprise guests on a Saturday morning. Nobody? If we would not want it done to us, why would we do it to anyone else? So, there's a fear, though, that any time we tell the gospel story, people will just think about those bad models of knocking on the door on an early Saturday morning. The other fear, and this is maybe the most prevalent, is the fear of being connected with this sort of hateful, vitriolic, fire and brimstone fundamentalism that's sweeping throughout our world today, especially in the United States. It's that everybody is evil and terrible. You're all rotten, no good scoundrels, and you need to hear me tell you how terrible you are. I'm reminded of the teenage youth ministry skit called Sinbox. You may have seen it, maybe not. But in the skit, this young girl becomes literally stuck in a box of sin. She can't get out. She didn't mean to end up stuck in this box of sin. She trusted a friend, but there she is, stuck away. And different people come by to try to tell her how to get out, except one. This fiery, charismatic preacher steps into the scene, and he says, "Oh, Lord, child, you know what's wrong with you? You got the devil, child. And you know what happens when you take the D off of devil? You get evil. And that's what you are, young lady. You're evil to the core. And when you take the E off of evil, you get vile. And you're always vile when you're stuck in sin. And when you take the V off of vile, you get ill. You're going to feel ill from your toes to the top of your head as long as you're stuck in that sin. And when you take the I off of ill, you get L. And that's right where you're going." Yeah, let that sink in a little bit. Just marinate on that. Now, obviously, no one's going around doing that, but that's the image that is out there very often in evangelism, that we beat people over the head with how terrible they are. And we don't want to be connected with that either, do we? We fear coming across too harsh. Have you ever felt that way? You maybe hesitate in telling someone about Jesus because you're afraid that they'll think you're trying to judge them or beat them up. Or hurt them mentally in some way. And then there is, of course, the simple fear that we don't know what to say. If we do get the opportunity to tell someone, what do we do? This fear is often fed or tried to be corrected by little formulas. And there are countless witnessing training programs and projects and patterns that use all sorts of gimmicks to try to make it easier for us to tell someone else the gospel story. Like there's using an acronym like FAITH. Maybe you've gone through that FAITH training where you use the first letter of every letter in FAITH to tell someone about Jesus. Now, what's wrong with that? Well, if you were to come to me, if I was a non-believer, and say, let me tell you about Jesus, it's all about faith. F stands for, I've already tuned you out. Because this isn't real. This is some speech you've learned. This is something rehearsed. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't seem true. It's not that it's saying anything untrue, but what people seek more than anything is something authentic and real and genuine and personal. It's the same way with the Roman road. Now, this one I'm more sympathetic to because, hey, at least it's the Bible. But the reality is, if I've never believed in God, if I've never had much concern about Jesus, why would I be interested in what the Bible says? Now, eventually, we have to get people to the Bible, sure. But why start there with Scripture for a world that doesn't believe in Scripture? Why assume that would matter to them? And so all of those fears, the fear of being connected with these unhealthy, counterproductive models, the fear of not knowing what to say or saying the wrong things, they keep us at bay. And who is the author of fear? Is it God? Who is it that's trying to keep us afraid? It is not the one who calls us to go out and fish for people. No, he is not a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of boldness. So we've gone from the prophetic word that said, hey, why aren't you doing this? To the pastoral word that says, God understands us and he knows why. But then there's the practical word, how. How do we make disciples? How do we share our story? You know, Pastor, if you're going to beat up every one of my favorite models, you got to leave me with something. Here's a radical suggestion. If we want to tell someone else about Jesus, his love, and the good news of the gospel, just tell them our story. That's what Jesus did. That's what the disciples whom he called did. That's what the writers of the New Testament did. That's what Peter and Paul certainly modeled in the book of Acts. They simply told their story. That's what people want to know. They want to hear, how have you experienced Jesus in your life? How have you encountered him? And now I'm going to get real practical on you, class. There is just three simple parts to a testimony. Hear that word, testimony. Testimony is something you do in a courtroom, isn't it? You're a witness who saw something, who experienced something, who observed something that really happened, and you testify to it. You are a witness who tells the judge and the jury what you saw and experienced and heard. And so I always tell people, when you're sharing your story, tell them about your life before Jesus. You don't need to glamorize it. You don't need to make it sound incredible. You don't need to make it sound tempting. I've listened to testimonies where they spent maybe two-thirds of the entire time talking about how much they drank or how much they womanized or how many fights they got in or how great their gang was. And when it's over with, I kind of scratch my head and think, hey, that sounds kind of exciting. No, I mean more that we tell people, what was the effect of life before Christ? Did you feel hopeless? Did you not really have anywhere to turn when you were making decisions? Did you feel like you had no direction? What was the real effect in your life? Did you feel like there were times when you just felt so alone and empty? Or like you couldn't catch your breath? Now, some of you, maybe your story is, hey, I've always known Jesus. I grew up in church as a little kid. I knew about him from vacation Bible school. I learned about him in Sunday school. I worshiped him in worship every Sunday. That's a good story, too. Your story doesn't have to be that you were a gang member for it to be effective. They want to hear your story. And if your story is, I've always known Jesus loved me, then they need to hear that too. And God will put the people in your lives who need to hear that story told. Tell them about who you were before Christ. Tell them how you encountered him. Was it in a revival service? Probably not. More likely, statistically, it was one-on-one. Did a friend or a mother or a father or a grandparent sit you down and tell you the story of Jesus? Was it through a prayer that you heard? Were you just sitting down looking and seeking for yourself? But tell the person how you encountered Jesus. They need to hear that because it's the reality of it. It's the truthfulness of it. That this is not doctrine. This is not a formula. This is a person. And then this is the big one. This is the one we always forget. This is the longest portion of the testimony. What's he doing in your life today?
What's so good about the gospel? What's so good about the good news? What's so good about Jesus that I should want to have him in my life? Telling people how God is sustaining you, directing you, how God gave you a church family that supports you and helps you and encourages you. They need to hear all of that to know what's so good about Jesus. So that's it. It's as simple as that. Who was I? How did I meet him? And who am I now? What's he doing in my life? And then maybe then you can get to some words of Scripture. And you should do all of that in 3 minutes or less. In the next few months, we will have some training opportunities on evangelism, on sharing our story, that will take all of this much deeper. But for today, we simply wanted to put the challenge and the call out to you. You'll see in the bulletin, the title of the sermon is The New Now Mission. The New Now Mission for First Baptist Church of Elon is to make new disciples now. The trend tends to be to build up a church by going out and getting members from other people's churches. That's not discipleship making. That's not evangelism. And truthfully, that's not even building the church, if we think of the church with a capital C, the church universal. But no, what Jesus has called us to do is not to get more people to join, but to make disciples. New believers now. How can we do that? We've talked about it. When can we do it? 1 Corinthians says, tomorrow is not promised. Do it now. And so we invite you today to pray that God would open our eyes so that all of us can see those people around us who need to know the good news. They're there. They're in our lives already. And we need not fear what to say or how to say it, for God will intervene when we fumble and mumble the gospel story. But we only need one story to tell, our story. Share it with someone so that we all together as a body of believers might make new disciples right now. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, would that you would calm those fears we have. We worry about all of the unhealthy and wrong-headed models of evangelism. So Lord, let us be the generation that puts forth the healthy model. The model that the New Testament offers us. Of one disciple telling his or her story to an unbelieving world. We have such a story to tell, God, and we thank you for it. Give us the boldness to seek out those people who need to hear it, that we all might stand up and follow your call. This new now mission is yours. We seek to follow you in it, to leave all things behind, including our fear, O Lord, that we might follow you as fishers of men. In Christ's name, amen. We invite you to respond to God's word as you feel led by his Spirit as we sing together Footsteps of Jesus, number 483. If you're able, would you stand with us?
Thank you.
Before our benediction, I want to extend a final invitation to you. Tonight, we will continue this theme of sharing our story, but look at it more from the perspective of those who doubt that God even exists at all. How do we talk to them? How do we answer the questions of a doubting world? So tonight at 5:45, we encourage you, especially if you've not been a part of our Sunday night Bible study before, maybe a college student, you especially wrestle with some of those questions with your peers, to come and be a part of the conversation. Let us pray. May the Spirit speak to you, lead you, guide you in the right path, a path that leads you in the footsteps of Jesus Himself into a world of darkness and hurt and pain, to bring good news to the captives, good news to the poor, good news to the sinner. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.